Keith McCants. Welcome back to T-Town. I hope you're doing well.
I'm doing extremely well. How you guys are doing today?
Good, good. It's always great we could talk Alabama football in T-Town with you.
Oh, man, yeah. The Alabama football, is that we could talk about that all day long.
Absolutely. And, you know, as an alumnus of this great University of Alabama, you have to take a little bit of a sense of pride of what they've been able to accomplish here lately with winning all these championships.
Man, I'm going to tell you something, man. When you go to the University of Alabama, that's something special. When Bear Bryant laid the foundation there, I'm going to tell you that he really did something. And Jerry Stallings came in, and then Nick Saban doing what he do. Man, I'm going to tell you something. It's a privilege to be a part of a great tradition of the University of Alabama football program.
Absolutely. Keith, as you look back, and I want to sort of walk you back a little bit, do you remember the first time that you put on that crimson jersey?
Yes, I did. I remember the first time I put on a helmet. I didn't get a chance to play my first year there. I was on about 48, but I walked in and I put it on, and my uncle offered my cancer. He said, "That's you all the way. That's you all the way." And I tell you what, I used to go to the games. I had to sit in the stands and watch Cornelius Bennett and Derek Thomas go out there playing, and Wayne Davis and Willis Shepard. So they sent all those guys out there playing, man. And then after, I tell you what, I couldn't wait to get out there. Oh, my God.
Oh, well, and that's a lot of fun. You mentioned Wayne Davis. He actually lives here locally. And still, that record that he set at Alabama with total number of tackles at 325 for the career is still standing. So, you mentioned a lot of great players at the University of Alabama. Let me go back and talk about, from your perspective, I go back to Derek Thomas being inducted in the College Football Hall of Fame. He finally got that call, and obviously he's passed away, and we've talked about that. But it was unique to see Derek Thomas honored yesterday.
Man, I'm going to tell you something. Derek should have now. He should have been voted in the first time. This guy here, I seen him at his worst. I don't think you remember, but they played an opening game in New York City. Cornelius Bennett didn't play. Derek had to step up and take his spot, and he had one of the most awful games there was. Since that day, we talked about that. And we got together, and we trained together, and he said, "This is what it takes to go to the next level." And that boy, we used to get up at 3:30 in the morning and push with Rich Wingo and train and push Broncos around the campus. I put that in my book. I just wrote a book, by the way. I put that in my book. And that extra incentive, that guy, he became a student of the game, and he taught me how to become a student of the game. There's more to it than just playing. On that level at the University of Alabama, you can go there with all the talent in the world, but if you ain't become a student of the game and study and know what's going to happen and know how to prepare for the game, you're not going to pan out that well.
Keith, do you remember being recruited out of Murphy High School there in Mobile to Alabama?
Oh, yeah. I remember like it was yesterday. When I came out of high school, I was ranked number 7 in the country. Emmitt Smith was ranked number 1. Emmitt Smith became really good friends of mine. We became really good friends over the years. Actually, we became roommates and on the road and all the American teams and stuff. And being recruited, I think my first visit was Pittsburgh and Tennessee, Auburn. I went to Alabama. But I went to Alabama early. And I met Paul Bear Bryant, and then he told me I was coming to Alabama. He wasn't coaching there. Ray Perkins was coaching, but I met Bear Bryant walking through the hall. I remember like it was yesterday. He said, "Keith, I'm glad to see you coming to Alabama. I heard a lot about you. I'll never forget it." He told me I was coming to Alabama. He didn't ask me. that's one of the most memorable things that I can remember about the University of Alabama.
Keith McCants right now inside the game here in Tuscaloosa. He was the 4th overall pick in the first round of the 1990 NFL draft. Keith, we had a lot of Alabama guys a couple of weeks ago drafted in the NFL draft. Sort of walk us through. That's a hard process to go through, and you're sort of waiting for that team to make that call. Walk us through that.
Well, okay. In the process, back in the day, a lot haven't changed. You're sitting there waiting. And sometimes, I'm going to tell you something, the NFL, let me tell you this. When you play for college, when you go to University of Alabama, you go to Auburn, you go to Tennessee, or you go to Kentucky or Mississippi State, anywhere in the SEC, frankly, you go because of the tradition and the love for the game. And a lot of players don't know this, and I'm glad you asked me that. When you go to the NFL, it's all about money. It's about money. It's about the Super Bowl. That's all the thing they care about. And then when you're sitting there, you're waiting for them to be taken. I was originally supposed to go to be the number one pick overall, but Atlanta shuffled me around, and I ended up going to Tampa Bay. They put out bad rules. The NFL is like, it's kind of cutthroat, but it's business. And it's a dirty business. Sometimes you end up going where you don't want to go. If I would have gone to a different team besides Tampa Bay and played middle linebacker like I did at Alabama, where I could go sideline to sideline, keep players off me, I probably would have lasted a lot longer in the league and done a lot better job. I looked and saw the protocol go to Cincinnati, and they had some bad rumors going around that he had an attitude problem. But I don't think that was the case. That kid, Carroll, he has a winning personality. He went to a team that's not used to winning. And then I look to tell you how I think it's going to pan out. I think if they don't get to supply him with the receivers that he needs, he's not going to pan out there. He's going to have to go to a team that's just going to be able to. He ought to go to a team that he can fit into a system, and that because the kid used to winning. He's a leader. And he's a good athlete. He ain't the best out there, but he's good enough to be in the NFL, and that means he's one of the best. That's my opinion.
Absolutely. Keith McCants talking about A.J. McCarron at the Cincinnati Bengals. Keith, let me sort of segue a little bit. The NFL, we love the sport, okay? Don't get us wrong, but we're college football fans. I mean, that's what we talk here around here. We talk a little bit about the NFL, but it really is to follow guys like yourself that played and still represent the University of Alabama. I go back to college. We're looking at millions, well, billions, that are being paid.
Yeah.
Commissioners,
you're right. They get paid
coaches. Right. There's a big
law. I'm going to tell you something. College is a billion-dollar organization, and people don't do this, but if you do the research like I did, because I'm in a lot of lawsuits with the NFL right now, but if you do the research like I did, college make more money than the NFL.
You're right, as far as their net profit. But Keith, shouldn't we give the players a little piece of the pie? I'm not saying put them on $50,000 salaries, but maybe a stipend of $400 or $500, $1,000 a month to sort of connect the dots from the loose ends.
If you was to do that, you know how much trouble you would save yourself from the agents coming in, from the agents giving players family money, and for them breaking the rules and regulations. You don't know what that would do if they gave them some kind of stipend. You know what I'm saying? Because, like myself, I come from a poor background. You know, and 90% of the players in the SEC are the ethnic players, are the black players. Even some of the white players does not have the money to even be at that university if it weren't for the scholarship. So they live in day for day on trying to get their laundry done, trying to eat, trying to do different things like that. But if you give them a stipend, I'm going to tell you, all those crooked agents that come there to get these kids in debt, to get them in debt and then make them obligated, now they got too much on their mind, they can't focus, they can't concentrate. Now, not only that, now you got the coach, you got the whole university in jeopardy of being on probation.
Keith McCants right now inside the game, and I'm watching Twitter, which you're very active on Twitter, by the way. You can connect with Keith McCants. It's straight up at Keith McCants on Twitter. A lot of folks right now are reacting because it's so great to hear your voice talk about Alabama football and sort of give us your perspective as one of the Alabama legends that we feature here, an All-American and fourth overall to Tampa Bay. I also want to go, Keith, to the playoff scenario. College football is making a huge transition. College football playoffs now, where four teams are going to decide. Do you have an opinion on that?
Yeah, they're getting more like the NFL. It's all become about money. And I think they did. I feel that they did that because when one university started dominating championships the way Alabama did, in the past 5 or 6 years, Alabama and Auburn have won national championships. It's been right here in the South, right in our own home state of the University of Mobile, the state of Alabama. And that says a lot when the state of Alabama carries six national championships out of 7 years. That says a lot. And I'm going to tell you something. Nick, I got to take my head off to Nick Saban, man. Nick Saban done an extremely good job, but Nick Saban also, it starts with the recruiting year. When he go out there and get the best, the cream of the crop, that's what it takes. They put in the extra hours and the extra work to go out there and get those players. And the more Alabama win, the more people want to come there. Our second string offense and defense is good enough to be first string everywhere else in the country. And you can't shake that. And the tradition that Alabama carry, that's what we do. That's what we do. Everybody want to be a champion. Everybody want to be number one.
Well, and I sometimes look at college football playoffs is because they're jealous of the success of the SEC. It's like, how can I be a part of the conversation? Well, let's create a playoff and help the weaker teams where they would give them a chance, because we haven't done that for the last few years.
A lot of people talk about the SEC, and a lot of people talk about Southern Cal. You got to say Southern Cal. You got to play Notre Dame. SEC is the most toughest conference there is in college football. It's no more. Now, as I said, first of all, college is no more than a semi-pro team. But Alabama, but the SEC is plus sometimes the whole SEC is a little bit a step above that, because of the talent and the talent that they have in the SEC. Not only that, it's the competition. And anytime you play against the University of Alabama, people step it up 10 notches because we are champions.
Keith, I want to ask you, and you and I spoke last night about this, and I think it's something that you sort of wanted to talk about a little bit, because we do see the glory side of college football, the NFL football, but there is a dark side to the other side of college and NFL football that most of us really never have a chance to experience.
Okay.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
No,
I'll just tell my daughter bye. She get it.
Oh, okay. No worries. I'm sorry.
No. But I'm gonna tell you, I'm so glad you brought that up, because I'm gonna tell you something. People don't see what goes on behind closed doors of the National Football League nor college. Now, I'm not knocking no college. I'm not naming no name, but what it takes to stay out there on that field. Yeah, the fans don't see it, and they never know what really goes on. I had 29 surgeries. I was taking 180 lower tabs a week.
How many surgeries, Keith?
29 different surgeries. The bone came out. I'm going to give you an example in the NFL. The bone came out of my shoulder against Detroit Lions. It's called a compound fracture. I don't name the coach because I don't want people to talk about him, but they pushed it back in, and they wrapped me up, and they told me that we don't pay you $1.5 million to sit on the bench, and they put me back out there after they shot me up. And then I was 185 lower tabs a week and morphine for 7 years. There's a lawsuit going on right now about players being addicted to drugs or painkillers, and man, I'm gonna tell you something. It's something serious. But not only just in the pros, there's some colleges out there do it, and they take advantage of players because they have so much passion for the game. I heard Deion Sanders and Lil Sapp talking about they was getting shot up. They were saying there's nothing new in that National Football League. There's nothing that people see. When they take a player into that locker room, that bag the wall, and he come out running like a gazelle, you know something went wrong. As a player, we know, because as players, we look for people that are injured, so we can take advantage of it. If you got a player in there and he hurt, we gonna attack that player's weakness, because we need every advantage that we can get. That's what we do. That's part of football. Buddy Ryan was an expert at it. They have people out there that look for people weak, and then when you get shot up with cortisone, and you can't feel. One last that we were playing against. Philadelphia Eagles. We had Randall Cunningham. I had to play an awful lot. And and I had bad knees. I was so bad off, they said I don't have to practice to play in the game. They shot me up so much. And you actually gave me too much of it, cortisone. I would run and fall, and I couldn't feel my leg. It was too much. But the difference, I had an awesome game. But after the game, I couldn't walk for 3 days.
Wow.
So this is what the public don't see. And then I just got in some trouble off the field with drugs and alcohol and stuff like that. What they don't know is that I had to have some type of medication to medicate my body for the pain. Not because I was doing it for a lot of things. Now you have over 500 players in the NFL that filed a lawsuit. You don't do it. We didn't do it for the pleasure. We did it because the pain, the pain don't stop because the game stops. It goes with you. And so that's one of the things that we got going on in the National Football League that one of the lawsuits is all about. Matter of fact, I'm probably doing something with NFL Network talking about that pretty soon. But I had a lot of people reach out to me because I've been saying it for 15, 20 years and everybody ignored me on it. But now that it came, 547 players that came out and said something about it, now they want me to be the front runner and say, okay, he ain't lying. One guy from Chicago, this guy, he had a broken leg. They said it was a sprained leg. We believe these doctors. We put our faith and confidence in them. And they shoot you up and you can't tell the difference, but the presence on the field makes a difference.
Wow. Keith, this is a unique story, and I know I'm out of time tonight, but I look forward to visiting again, and we'll talk more about it. You talked about that book. Would be the best way to connect with you on the Twitter account to find out more information?
Yeah, hit me on the Twitter account. I want to keep it on the download. I'll let you know when they call. When they call, you'll be the first to know because I'm going to launch it in Tuscaloosa.